and capable of colleagues. And it's really a pleasure for both of you to have you here this morning. And the floor is now yours.
All right, so the topic is Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. I translate it as halakhic pluralism. There is, we know that orthodoxy, I think, means that definitionally, you know, is to have one way of going and being very strict and unto not being pluralistic. But how much within orthodoxy do we allow for some divergence of opinions? And what is the attitude toward those divergent opinions when they come about? And why should they be? You know, is that possible? And why? How can there be divergent opinions? So that's really the topic over here. So the first source, two sources that are pretty like astounding, if you haven't seen them before, is the first one in Erevin Yogim HaMadalev. It begins right by the arrow over there. And it says, Omer of Adam Shmuel, Shalosh Shonim, 3 years, from page one, source one, page one. For 3 years, Nechlaku, Beit Shammah, Beit Hillel, right, they had a machlokas about, you know, many, many, many arguments. Halalu Omrin, Halacha Kimosenu, Halalu Omrin, Halacha Kimosenu, right? Each one says, the Halacha is like us. Yotza Vasko the Umra Elu the Elu Dire Elokim Chaim, that both are the words of the living God, right? Both opinions, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammah, both are valid words of what God, the words of God. However, it says, Halacha to Beit Hillel. However, the Halacha who we follow is followed Beit Hillel. So Mara asks, Ime Akasha, Elu the Elu Dire Elokim Chaim, and Ne'ma Zaku Beit Hillel the Gvo Halacha Mosan. So why is Beit Hillel the Halacha? If it's equal, it's all Divrei Elokim Chayim, so who cares who we choose? Not, why is the halacha like Beit Hillel? And they shenokin, the aluvim, they're quiet, they're calm, they're patient. They show them Divrei Beit Shammah. Even when they list the opinions, they don't just ignore and discount and like just censor out the opinion of Beit Shammah. They also incorporate their opinion. And furthermore, Elash and Magdimin Divrei Beit Shammah Divreihem. They actually put Beit Shammah's opinion first. So unlike you find that, you know, if you disagree, so you don't want to mention other opinion. You don't want to give anybody the idea that you're wrong and there are opposing opinions. But they, Beit Hillel, were so patient and so, you know, I guess, you know, calm and not, didn't really push themselves on others, that they even quoted Beit Shammah and even quoted Beit Shammah. First, and Mark gives examples from Mishnah, from different Mishnahs as to where that was. So, you have, first of all, interesting, the fact you have this concept, all right, that both are equal. You know, a lot of times in yeshiva, you have a machlokas, and the kids ask, well, who's right? And the Rebbe says, I think every Rebbe would say, well, if not a question, who's right, who we follow? We're both all right. Now, what does that come from this command, this source? Over Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. We have to follow. We can't do like both. We have to follow one opinion. So that opinion we follow is, in this case, this machlokas Beit Hillel.
But it's interesting, we pask him like the basketball.
Right, so that's another question, is how we can and why that is.
All right, we won't...
So,
that's the subject for another call of your
right, it could be... no, for sure it could be, just on a regular achat. So, it comes up, I mean, we'll see sources where it sounds like Beit Shammah is stronger, were sharper and brighter than Beit Hillel. And Beit Hillel were more numerous, you know, Beit Hillel were more... so, usually you follow the role of Beit Hillel, but you only follow the role when you're equal. In other words, if you have Moshe Feinstein argues against 20 other rabbanim, who cares? Moshe says this, that's it. You follow him. Who cares how many things are against him? Right. You follow the greatest God of Hazor. That's how you have to follow. It's not a question of role. Unless you're equal and obeys them. So there, by definition, the halacha is every single dayan, no matter how great they have. There definitely were gradations of who was greater and obeys them. But the halacha was obeys in his role, even though we may have our obeys in his better than all the others. If he said like one, but everybody else would disagree. So that was it. Then you just followed the role. So the Basco, I don't know what the Basco just said, that they were equal. Or the Basco just said that Beit Hillel is a bar hafi to argue on Beit Shammah. Beit Shammah says, we're so much greater. How dare you argue? We're much sharper and brighter and
we're able to follow
stronger.
The role.
Right. So we really both are. It's just a question of the Basco just evened out the playing field so that you can say, follow the role. So that was one possibility. But that's. Also, why we follow Beit Hillel is not because Beit Hillel was even the role. It says here they were just quieter and they were calmer. And then we'll see here in perhaps a source which explains why that should be a reason to follow somebody. You follow because he's just a more calm person, therefore you follow him because he's quieter, he's patient, because he's more open to other opinions. That's why you follow him. It's also, now this is in terms of halacha. Do you find Elu Ve'elu even in terms of mitzius, in terms of reality, what happened in a story, for example? So in page 2, There's the Gemara discussing the story of Pelegish Begiva. And over there, the whole story begins by saying that Tizne Alok Pilagisha, this person originally, before they got into this whole mess with the Pilagisha, with Meshavet Binyamin, and not in time to Min, and Yimanis, and all those problems, so first, he first threw her out, and she went back to her father's house. So the question was, what began the whole story of Pilagisha Begiva? What led to it was that Tizne Alok Pilagisha, that the Pilagisha did something. A Maisa Znus, but now Znus, because I'll say, it's not real Znus, but it's Lashon Mazon, Lashon of food. So it says there what actually happened. So the Mar begins with the third line, that Rabbi Aviyasa, and it says, Rabbi Aviyasa Omar Zuvuv Matala. He found a fly in the dish, in the food. Rabbi Yonathan Omar Nima Matala. He found a hair. So they had a machlokas, what exactly got him all upset that he threw her out originally? So Va'ashachei Rabbi Yosar Leil Yom. So Rabbi Yosar found Yom Navi. Amalei, Ma'ika Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that I'm doing right now? Amalei, Asif is Pelegish Begiva. He's involved with the Ma'isa of Pelegish Begiva. Ma'ika, Ma'isa, what's he saying? What's Hashem saying? Amalei, if Yosar B'ni Kachu Omer, if Yosar says this way, and my son Yonasan B'ni Kachu Omer. So Amalei, so now Rabbi Aviyasa says to Yonah Navi, Chas v'shom, Yika, Svega, Kamei, Shemaya, how could it be? How could God not know what's happening? What do you mean? The suffix, God has doubt as to what's going on. Amalei, so now Yonah Navi says to Rabbi Aviyasa, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that both are the words of the living God. And then how could that be? So it says, Zvum matzal v'lo hikdiv. He first found a fly and did not care so much. Wasn't Nima Matzav, then he found the hair, and he was more mocked about that. Then he threw her out. So
the hair was painful.
The hair was
painful. It was
the tashmish. Right. So that one pshat. We'll focus later on whether it's the card or whether it's that makom erev, or whether or not also makom. The minhag was to not have hair, but also makom. But nevertheless, I mean, just in terms of what's as far as my focus is, I just thought just on the work of that. You know, sometimes a person can begin an action, and then somebody else finishes it. Who gets credit for it? Who's the first person or the second person?
Okay, you know, more than one half, maybe.
I don't know if this is really what I'm saying is correct in terms of applying this machokas and mitzias to lachol ma'aseh. Let's say a person, damages something, does something wrong, and then another person finishes and really does finishes the job. You know, a guy, who's responsible for that act? Who's responsible to pay the person? So it's the first person who began it, who led the person on, and or the second person who actually completed it. So here,
decrees al shem gobro.
Right.
Now
it? A mitzvah decrees al shem gobro.
Right, so that's a mitzvah. So here, you can't say that maybe the nima may not have bothered him unless you first had the zvuv.
Right.
So it could be the zvuv first. Well, the person who started it, that's the person who should get blamed, because right. Get the ball rolling. Yet the other says, no, it's the person who completes it when it comes to the Nima, so that's tied to it in terms of a Svara. But because here you see in my focus, Amitzius, Hashem says, even by Mitzvah, Eva Ve'el, and yet it worked out, and that both were right. So, exactly whether it's the same Eva Ve'el concept or different, whether it's the same concept applies to a halacha, where both can be equally correct, we'll have to see. But that's just a good source of where Elu and works out where actually both occur. How could it be Mitzvah? No, even by Mitzvah, even my focus with your feel cannot be happy to work it out, both opinions. No, even in that situation, you can say that both are correct. So in part two, let us go through from the source of three basic ways to understand the concept of how could it be that both are correct. Is there really a right or wrong? Is there a objective truth in halacha? Or is it just whatever you say is okay? And one of also any limitations to that concept. So the one now, page 3, the top, the Torah Tumima. This is from Parshas Baal Oscha, where Hashem tells Moshe, begs Hashem for help, and Hashem tells him, okay, gather 70 zakenim. And there on that, the Torah Tumima says, it's quite small, I hope I can read it, on Oth Yud Aleph. The fifth line, right by where the three is, it says, Nira HaKavana, Nay, Shekol Dovar, why gather 70 men? Shekol Dovar HaYosim in Piyachot, Eino Bora Kolkach. One person says something, so then, you know, who says he's right? Who says it's all clear? Ki Yocho Liyot Sheshogag V'tah. Now, one person can make a mistake. Misha'en came, Dovar HaYosim in Asifas Chachomim, Hu Chozat V'esan. So, however, if many get together, and they come out with an opinion. So, Kamo Nikva, Nitzav Mismarim. So, is it that is set with the nails and it's more fortified? Mishum Dichevan Sharav Chikru V'Chaku V'Shaku V'Taru Boza. Since they discussed it, they debated it, it was back and forth. So, Avandai Nik Chaku, right? V'Amdu Al Kamo, right? Shaldavar. Because they debated, they came out with what exactly to their deep reasoning of it, and therefore a biru lahotzi and adlamisa. So that is we're more assured of things being debated and then coming out the right opinion. And that's why Moshe had to take 70 people, because the more you have, the more things are debated. You have the Gemara and Brachos when Rabbi Lemuel was thrown out and Rabbi and when Hazar took over the Nesius. So the Gemara there says that they learned a whole Masechet Eidos because there, so many more chachamim, things were clarified much more. And therefore you had a lot more Torah being taught and a lot more halachas being debated and therefore concluded because you had an asifas chachamim. That's probably where this idea comes from. But then he says, so what is that going to do with us? By so zeh, zvarazu bi'arnu b'mokam acher, this idea is what I used to explain in another place. What does that mean? Asher Rabbi and Torchu v'Avram. Right, many were trying to figure out what exactly that thing happened to be. The Eichi Tachen has the possible. Shezeh she'omar mutar v'gam zeh she'omar asur. Shneim divrei elokim chayim. How could it be? Two opposing opinions. Both are right. That is impossible. V'haloha emes rak echon. It's got to be one. The truth, what God wants, the original idea had to be one. One truth, he says. Ubi'anu ha'kavana mishum da'pideo shonos v'hisnagdu zeh l'zeh, but because you have other opinions that are imposing it, so bo sevoros shonos mitoch kach mizbarer emesis hadin. So because you have opposing halachos, you get down to the real truth of the matter. V'imkei mi'cheven sh'al pideo sosros. Because you have contradicting opinions, Mizbarer ha'inyan, Menela ha've divrei elu ve'ela divrei lakim chayim. Kilomash v'zer rotzon Hashem. Hashem wants us to debate it and to have other opinions in order to get down to what the truth actually is. So what is he saying here about the other opinions? So that really, according to Torah Tumima, there is an objective truth. Only one is really what God wants. Only one is what really is correct. So who needs a shaman? Who needs other opinions? Why bother? Because by having a divergence of opinions, you get down to the truth. You get down to what really is. I was once, I used to, in summertime when I was in college, I used to work in different jobs, in brokerage and computers. One particular summer has a whole slew of different people and personalities. So it was one conservative Jew who once asked me, why are there so many arguments in the Gemara, in the Talmud? Why do we have so many, everybody, Jews are always fighting with each other, always arguing. So I said to him, I didn't know this at the time, but I said to him just intuitively, this idea is that the fact that you have the argument shows that it was debated. You can't say, you learn halacha. And then you say, well, this halacha, who said he's right? Well, if you understand that this halacha came about through years of debate and years of others not wanting, where Jews have so many opinions, and yet now it's come down, this one conclusion, this one maskana, so you see that shows that it's correct. Not just one person saying, this is what you got to do, and that's it. You have so many opinions. I mean, then you have a conclusion that all these arguments shows that things were taken seriously, things were debated, and that's why he says that's what it means, Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, that there is one objective truth. However, you need the other opinions because that's how you get down to what the truth actually is. But the bottom line is that still there's only one objective truth. Now,
that's difficult because you have a lot of things in the Gemara where you see it's machlokas panayim, and because of our preference to paskin in one direction, we have klavim sak. Not saying the other one is wrong. It's just saying this is our gedarim of how we follow in a pasuk.
Well, talking Nemo, actually, I think it's right. It's great B'Shinish. It sounds like a great answer, but on the other hand, it's a B'Shinish because that's really saying the other opinions are actually not the truth and really are wrong. It's just that we like them because they exist for their contrast. To have the contrast allows us to really focus and to appreciate and to understand that what we include with actually is the truth, not just made up by one person. But you're right, it's very difficult to say that in actuality there is right and wrong when it comes to the Mesorah and comes to the Halacha. And two opinions, one's right, one's wrong, and both are not really what God wants. God wants one, but you have to just have the other opinions for the contrast.
Right, but maybe what he's alluding to is, as an example, the drasha Moavi v'lo Moavia. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So once that was nikva, that's the halacha. Nobody, I don't think anybody's going to argue that the other way of learning that it employs to both cases could be correct. I think everybody would say that's just wrong. Ultimately, it ends up being wrong.
But why is it wrong? Because God says so? Because the Jews decided that way?
It may not even matter so much. It becomes, meaning, that doesn't even become, that's no longer a legitimate way of limud.
Is it wrong because that is what God wants, and we came to that opinion because we followed the system, and therefore he says, we're almost like guaranteed to be right, to get the MS, what God wants, because we followed the system.
No, well, that one, it's wrong because the guy came in the basement and said, I have Masara from Shmuel and Avi. Right, so that's mm-hmm. because we knew that trumps all everything else. That may be why that's wrong, but it could be ultimately when Sanhedrin Hagadol paskined an issue, meaning they had multiple ways of looking at it, and they decided they paskined the halacha. So that became the truth, and that's maybe what.
That's because we thought that is like almost a shach d'shmaya. We'll get to that truth. But the other opinions, why were they there? Why are they valid as well? If Basil would have said the other opinion, would that be okay? And it sounds to me like he's saying it really is not okay, but we wouldn't. It's almost a theoretical possibility because
it gets us. It's a means to
get to there. Yeah, that's
not inherently true, but it helps to clarify.
Right, we want to have a, but we don't want it to just be monolithic.
Right, but what I'm saying is, what he may be just alluding to is at his mind when you have 70 Zakenim in the Sanhedrin. So what they paskin becomes the truth. Okay? He's not saying...
Truth is that there's some objective before you have any decision by a person. The person, truth is where from creation, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is the truth. And it sounds like that he's not saying that. He's saying that it's just, there is a truth, but that is, that's, and the other opinions are not true.
Because they filed...
You're saying after the Pesach.
Right, after the Pesach Halach, that's what becomes true. What I'm saying is that may be limited to his mind when you have a Sanhedrin with 70 Zakenim. That may be his point. After that you don't have a method of clarifying these issues, so you're just going to...
In the debate, that's why you want them. But what I'm trying to see here is... The first way to go is there exists an objective truth, although other opinions are valuable. So I think the value of the other opinions is the fact that you have this contrast. And that is what I think he's driving at. Yeah, so we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get there. How he explains every other Gemara, it's fine to know. But we'll see how the next opinion, the Drash Taran. So I have here that he also agrees with the truth. But he says they're valuable because the others that are not true for their validity. Now, how could it be true but yet valid? So what's the Drash Taran? And similar ideas in the Ramban and Dvarim and Lo Yosur. But he says like this, Zerf of the Arrow, V'zeh ha'inyan tzarech iyon, Eich nomah sh'shtei kochos ha'machlokes nemu Moshe and pi'hagur. How could it be able? How can you say that Bohu says to Moshe? He took two calves for for chal, mitzvah chal. Bemesh echa mishnei hadeos hu dat emesis v'sheinei hafkula. You gotta say, one's true, one's the opposite of truth. The eich no matcha yeich sheyotu empi Hashem, dovar bilti emesis. How could God say something to Moshe? If that was said, both divrei elokim chayim, how could God say things that are not the emes? Aval inyan kenim. Shedovar yedua shakol ha-Torah shebichtav v'bal peh nimsura l'moshe. Right, it's all given to Moshe. Moshe Megillah. All right, and Malame Shahera Kashbarku Moshe Dikduke Torah Vidukei Sofrim Masha Sofrim Masim Lachane Jared Manu Megillah the Sofrim Mafokas. All right, skip a little bit. They say Chula Lomda Moshe Biagura Below Hachra Kol Machlokas Mafokas. It was said to Moshe without a decision, without a very argument. No actual hachra was given, b'frach, specifically. Of a muscle of klal, asher bo yodeya ha'emes. This is how you'll know the objective truth, and that is acharei l'hatos, v'chein lo'osos v'medav sh'aregidu l'cha, yifal ha'chazal, and k'sheral ma'chokes ben ha'chachamim, when it became increased the argument, im ho'yochir eitzaravim ho'yokovim halachot libre ha'murum. So you follow the role, im ravim eitzaravim ho'yochir eitzaravim, so then what would be, if it was even, you have to figure out what the Chachamim want to decide. Shekavah nimsu hachra lahem. That was how it was given over to them. Like it says in the Pasuk, Basel hachonim halavim o halashov v'ashayir v'emahem. Chem l'sasur. So therefore what? Harei shenitan reshut l'chachmi ha'doros l'achriya v'machlokes ha'chachamim. It was given the permission to the Chachamim to decide the arguments. Kifi hanir lahem, according to what is appears to them. And therefore, va'atim yu ha'kedumim mehem, gedol mehem, meral mehem, v'nstavinu la'lelech achar ha'chamasam, heim she'yasinu lemes olam. They have to decide what's true or what's the opposite. And then he says, now the machokas of the Tamar Shenachnoi. And he says there, what does it mean, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Arava, Lamar, lo b'shamayim mi, ma lo b'shamayim mi. So he says, v'anidna l'mosha al-hasinai, v'chosuba acharam maham. We'll get to that Gemara later on. But the Chacham said to him, don't give me these miracles of the walls and the river going backwards, all the things we'll see later on. He says, he wrote, Kum Oth saw Sherebi Eliezer Maskim Ela Emes Yosef. Going to the Ram, Rebbe Eliezer was the objective, truth, quote unquote, correct opinion. But he also saw Kulam Emesim Sokim, and all his miracles that he made, all his signs proved that he was correct. And the Minashamayim Hishri, that the Mishamayim decided really they liked his opinion better. That Beit Shamala or whatever you want to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Rebbe Eliezer to be correct. The Afal Pikein Osu Maisa Kahasla Masam. Still, they followed the halacha like they decided. Sha'achar Sheshtichlam Notu Latame. Since their Sechel said to be Matamim. Even though they knew they were opposite from the truth, but they didn't care because they had to follow the rules of what the Torah told them to follow. And therefore, Lord Rosula Taha, like Rabbi Eliezer holds. They would even go against the Torah if they would follow Rabbi Eliezer because that would not be following the system of following the road, since they felt that it should be Tameh. And that So a very strange situation. You take that, there is objective, there is a truth, but we don't care. The truth is, like in that case, Rabbi Eliezer, really that Tanur, that oven should have been Tahar. But since they felt Tahar, and that was the road, so that was. And that became a valid opinion because God said, follow the rule. Follow the rule. It's an amazing thing that you have objective truth, and yet others have validity if it actually becomes somewhat where Chazal create truth, create the halacha, and the halacha does not have to follow the objective truth of what, so to speak, God wants, or the Bein Shammah wants, the Lobo Shammayim. God gave it to us to decide, and we follow the system. But there is no, like basically, Torah Nima said, you know, we'll arrive at that MS. But according to Torah Nima, all those signs are just miracles, whatever, who cares? The truth is what we call Israel with Chazal in that time actually decided. So both are similar in the sense of having an objective truth, yet they're different in terms of whether or not the halacha is needed to follow that truth to be called following the halacha. And you can follow what God doesn't want, and yet God wants you to follow against what he feels the halacha should be, which is a very, very incredible...
Well, you have to include Mesorah, too.
And that's the Mesorah, that becomes the Mesorah. Mesorah is created by the Jewish people, not by God. That's how far you would say, according to this... That's what I think Ramban says, or Yasser, Yom Rishmol, Hakadin Rashi says, even if they tell you right and really it's left, follow them. Why? Because that's what he means. Because even if in the objective truth is small, and then Hakadin Mesor say Yamin, then you follow them because they define in a way what the halacha is, even though theoretically there's an objective truth that says the opposite. Now, a second approach to this, Elu, is number five in the top left corner in the Ridva. He doesn't discuss at all an objective truth. Elu is Rikim Chaim. He says, Shalom Ben Tzarfah Azal. Again, same, all that same question. Hey, Chesha, Sheyu Shneyem, Zirei Rikim Chaim. How is it possible? Zer Ose, Zer Matzir. Again, same page here. The Tertzu, Ki Shisha'ola Moshe Lamoro, Mekadol Torah, Heru Lo, Kol, Dovah, Vedovah, Mem Tes, Panim Le'isur, Well, Mem Tes, 49 ways were hakir. That Hashem taught Moshe and said to him, for any halacha, any, here's 49 ways, this is 49 logical ways to make it tahor, to make it asur, this is 49 ways to make it mutter. The shakar's barfa said, Moshe, how could it be? So what should we do? Be up to you. Shehe lezem masu lachachni yisrael shvachol dor vandor, yi hachra kimosam. And that's it. I'm not giving my opinion. I'm not at all getting involved. This Torah is based on your sechel. I'm giving you all the ways to go. And it's up to whenever this question comes up in the next, 5,000 years, it's all up to the Chachmei HaMesorah to decide. And he says there, V'nachon hu lefi hadrash, u'derech ha'emez yesh tam sobu. There's a great secret to this now. I don't know what a secret is. But that's the, it's like the way Ramban discusses here. Maybe the other one, that's some kind of, but this, the secret is that, how could it be? So, almost, doesn't resolve too much for us, but the idea of Elu Ve'elu having no objective truth, is this is Ritva famous for that, and that ties in to the question before, Lo B'Shamayim, right, of the next page, page 4, the Gemara about Tanu Shenachanai. So I have it quoted over here, we went over a lot of it already, in the Drosha Saran, but just some of the detail, where Rabbi Eliezer said that it was a tohar, and the Chum said it was tameh. And it says over there on line 3, Heshi Rabbi Eliezer kol shuah shebaolam, he gave all the answers, the Lord kibu, and they didn't accept it. Amar lehem malach kemosi, so he said to them, Mislachos bani choro zeh yochiyah, this carob tree should prove it. And neka chorovim kom, the whole carob tree was uprooted from the ground. May I'm 100 amos. So Amri la Rabbi Eliezer, 400, all right. So now he says, Amr lo, they said to him, Ein mivin rai min achor. The choruv of a carob tree does not decide the halacha. And therefore, I don't care. We don't care. Chazri yomar rai, the halacha come up and follows me, ha-mayim yochi, so the water, this stream should prove it. And therefore, the amas ha-mayim lachorim, we started flowing backwards. Amr lo, Ein mivin rai min amas ha-mayim. We don't bring a proof from a stream. Chazri yomar rai, the halacha come up, kot le bismedrish yochi, so the walls of bismedrish should come caving in. So he took Kosei to measure, the wall started to cave in, Lipol to fall, Narabam, Rabbi Yoshua, Gar, remember, Yoshua got upset at them, screaming, they said, oh, let me tell you, Minasim, Zezeh, Balacha, Atem, Matilchem, why are you getting involved in this Machokas? We're having a Machokas here, you walls think you could butt into our Machokas, so the Lord Nafu, Michel, Bodosha, Rabbi Yoshua, didn't fall because of Rabbi Yoshua, however, they didn't stand up straight either because Kovo, Kodosha, Rabbi Eliezer. And they're still now, they're still like when the leaning tower of Pisa, the leaning tower, the leaning walls of the base of Medrash. Chaz of Yomalan, Imalacha Kamosi, Mireshamayim Yochizu, and a basel came down and said, Malacha Meitzel Rabbi Eliezer, what are you bothering him? What are you trying to argue with him? Halacha Kamosi, Mechol Makom. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Aragla, Vyoma, and he said, Lo Bashamayim. My love is Shemayim, who Omer, Rabbi Amarimiyah, Shekvar Nina, Torah, Miharsina, Ain't Onam Mashiach, and Basel, like he said earlier. It says in the Torah, Acheram Lahatos, and therefore that's where we have to go. And then you have Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Nasa, Midr El Yonavi, and he said, Maya Vikash Baruchu, Bahi Shais, Amalei, Kachaich, and smiling. And he's saying, Utschumi Beninuschun, that my people and my children have won me over. So again, the same idea that Hashem has an opinion, or And yet, we follow, we go against that. So according to the Ritva, that's the Hachra. The Hachra actually is, that's up for us. It's not up to the Shema. It's not up to, and really, the source of it is that really, I don't know why, because Ritva is a little why if Hashem doesn't care what you choose, it's all the same. Why Nitzchuni? But it can be difficult.
I would have thought that if I discussed this in class with the boys. I gave them the following example. I said that years ago when I first came to town, there was a young boy with a Palshuva who wanted a kashrut kitchen and asked me about kashering, the parents were willing to kashrut the kitchen, not willing to get rid of the china. Now normally china is not kashrut. Cheres, you can't kashrut. There's a minority opinion that says that Klicheres, if you let it sit for 24 hours, you kasher it three times. The minority of one. I thought the kasher's kitchen that way. For him, in his circumstances, it was kasher. I wouldn't eat there. If it was any of you asking me, I'd say, chuck the china, got to buy new china. There's evidence in circumstances. We need to think about kasher. That's the objective truth. But the objective truth upstairs doesn't always work down here. That's the truth of what works down here. That's how I've always understood it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that. We'll see that in terms of our stuff.
It's for us down here in the real world.
Absolutely.
Theoretical,
but sure. But they weren't going to go so far as to claim the Rabbi Elias was somehow a Novi Shaker after all this.
No, actually, then you went again. Once it was decided, then you have a little issue.
Right, that was
he actually.
He's wrong.
Yeah, whether he has the right emotion, seems like in the Hagama, it seems like that's okay to do. But, all right, number seven, that is another Gemara about this where you have the concept of where a Safek in Shemayim being decided. He has here in Ramesian Tevav, in the seven, the first wide line. Kamiflagi, the Mitzvot and Drakia in Beheres Kodemes L'Sei Lavan Tame. The by Sarat, if the white spot comes before the white hair, then the person is Tame. If the Sei Lavan, the white hair comes before the white spot of the Sarat, he's Tahor. So if you're not sure what came first, yet for Zvarchu on my Tahor. The Chulim is Yivas of the Rekiya Omrei Tameh. And Hashem is arguing here, again, with the Beis Shamala. They say Tameh. So, Omrei, Ma, Noch, who should decide it? Ah, Noch, I'm Rabbi Bar Nachmani. We'll get Rabbi Nachmani to decide. Omrei, Rabbi Nachmani, Ani Yochim, he's perfect, he's a great person in the Goyim and in Saras. Ani Yochim, Ba'olos. So, Shodru Shlichei Basrei, they sent a messenger to get him. Now, that means he has to.
Joy.
But could not reach him. Because he couldn't learn, he didn't stop learning at all. He stopped, but he could see what the commotion was. And then Savar Gudra, I thought he was being attacked. So he said I should rather die, not be captured by the Malchus. He had a nich nafshe omar Torah tar. So that was his last word. His last of omar ashrecha rabbi menachem shenov she gufech tar v'yasa nishmasech v'tar. All right. Nof apik merkia v'kundizisa v'amar menachem nistach mishushmala. He was a requested mishushmala, and that's he decided. The truth is, I don't recall which way he went, but we don't follow him actually, and they say pshat because once he's passing the mishmala, it was very not for us. You know, it's very. I think it's where something we were.
I thought it was just similar to what you previously said. It's just something like someone who dresses around.
He decided in Shemayim. Then when he decided in Shemayim, no longer was relevant for us. Hey, you see the concept where we're having a suffering in Shemayim, having not knowing what. Now how could it be that the people, if they're based in Shemala, whatever that is, argues on Kadosh Baruch Hu unless you say there's no objective truth. And what Hashem says, he's all just another opinion. He's just, could be God, but he still has only one vote when it comes to deciding the halakha in Shemayim. And also what is decided in on earth is really totally not necessarily relevant or what's in Shemayim, not relevant to what's decided on Shemayim. So that's number two, this about. We have no predetermined or objective correct view. The third way I listed it was, all opinions have some validity to them. And that's Eilvein. They're all correct. Not just that there's one correct and then others are valid for other reasons. Or whether or not there's no correct and they're all equally correct. Or, look, this three actually, there's maybe a Svara behind the Ritzvah. In other words, why should it be, how could it be, that all have some validity to them? So, let's first look at Rashi and Klubis. If there's Rashi later on as well. But at the end of the Rashi, he's discussing Machokas when it comes to what a person says. So here he says, there's three lines from where the Mishnah begins. So I don't really have an arrow there. But the first arrow, then further down, three lines up where it says, Aval. Ki plige tre amaroi. Bidin. When two amarim argue on a lachri, the Yisra behetzer, kol chad on mar hachri, misadra, taima. This is how I feel it should be. Enkan sheker. Nobody's, no, there's no sheker. There's no emerson sheker. Kol chad v'chad tzfarzi dei. They all say all the valid opinion. Ma'yav time of lechter. One gives the reason for Hester, and one ma'yav time of lisurai. Ma'madam milsim milsim. He compares it this way, and he compares it that way. Ikol neimar elu ve'elu divrei lekin chayim. Heimzun shai. Now here's it. Heimzun shai chay timea. Sometimes this reason applies. The zimnin d'shaya chay time. And sometimes that reason applies. Shatam is hapech v'si shinoi hadvarim v'shinoi miyut. So there he says what you were saying earlier, Rabbi, that
right. Depends
on the situation. That the reason, yes, he'll say mutter, but really both have validity, and that's why it's elu ve'elu. Because depending upon time and circumstance, each one will see the light of day, each one will be able to be followed depending upon what the circumstances are. Now, I don't know if he means on a particular level of who the person is, but maybe perhaps some time-wise, and we'll see what generation he lives, what generation this Mahalos is coming up, and depending upon who the generation, depending upon the time and place and where you live, then the halacha may be different, and therefore all opinions have validity to them. The Beir Hagolah, again, a similar idea, he asks he says, the middle of first paragraph, middle of the way down.
Yeah, the brackets.
Is Rashi saying there just when the Gemara says Elu ve'Elu, or on, is it limited to those situations, or is it in
the
more global?
I would say any time a focus, given you got to follow the rules in terms of, we'll see later on, what are the limitations to it. But assuming the person who's involved is entitled to an opinion, then you have this Elu ve'Elu concept.
Okay.
So Biruzeh, I said, try it. So Biruzeh, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Kasher, Nosan Torah L'Yisrael, Nosan Kol Dova V'Dova B'Torah Kifi Mashehu. Each one has a side, the schus and the chov. There's a side, an aspect of it that could be mutter. Each idea, each halacha has in it aspects that are mutter or asur or tor or tameh. Nothing is just black and white. It's all gray. Everything is gray.
It's almost like you have.
It's a mixture of all kinds of aspects. And he says that's how nature is. A tree is what is how does a tree grow? Is it mayim or is it? You can't really say what you have in the world called the animals gulekarka. They eat the grass, so that's gulekarka. Yeah, there's an aspect of even animals that you can call them gulekarka because they nourish from the ground. So there's no black and white in the world. And a person can't say black and can't live that way to say black. Everything has a mixture of different aspects. And therefore, v'chein b'torah ein dovar echad tomei l'gamrei. Nothing is for sure tomei. Shelo yeh bo tzad tahara. V'yesh bo tzad tumma gamkein. And even things that are tar also have a side of tumma. And therefore, v'chasher echad lomar al dovar echad tar. Somebody decides it's tar. And he gives his reason, the tahara. So that's because of that aspect that he found, that he saw in it. And the one who says, Tamei, Vama, Tamo, Zama, Gamkein, Bishinachas, each of that's Eilu, in the sense that each one is valid. Any halacha, any item that they're signing upon has different components to it, and each chacham is now deciding which one appeals to him, and therefore it's Eilu Ve'elu. Even go even further, the next page, Midrash Shmuel, uses this concept to explain like some. He says here, the Mishnah asked him for Yavos about Tilo Shammai and Bimachot Hashem Shemayim. And that Mishnah he says, second line, the Eilu Ve'elu Dibra Kimchaim Kamama Ramzal. Vezekil Chol Hadvarim, he says, Yeshlem Shirashim Yonkim Milamala. Right, each thing has been nourished from above. Vakol Kisi Hazman Kisi Hamach. All right, like Rashi says, Zman, all time and place. Asher Hurome Vamala Ba'atilus Valo Tira. Then here's his proof. He Avnavinu Kiyem Efil Arut Tavshil Yaakov. Right, so he Avnavinu everything, right? Yaakov Hadichir Ba'avos Nasa Shtei Achayos. How could he marry two sisters, Yaakov? Asher HaTorah Asher Olsam, and Yehuda went on Ba'a Tamar, his daughter-in-law. It's a precious person in the Torah being also. How can Avram keep every mitzvah, and you have Yaakov and the Yehuda violating the mitzvah? How is it possible? So he said, and the whole Melchus Beis David comes from Yehuda, so it's like clearly you can't be wrong. Elalav shekol hadvarim heim mishtal shalim mishrashim ha'ayom kfi hatzor kfi hazman kfi hamachum. That every halacha, marrying two sisters, even Baal al-Kawaso. It's what I call a kav emes v'chein kol machloke shor l'shem shemayim sof v'yitzchayim, he says, ki yeish lam shorash v'kim l'malah v'shtei ha-svaros kam gam yachad v'hadvarm atikim v'dai l'mevin. In other words, what? That even when it comes to marrying a kala, there is some reason to make a musar. And Yaakov, or Yehuda, grasped upon that connection at that moment in time. It was mutter for that moment in time. And Yaakov married two sisters, that was where he had to be. So married two sisters, that's for his doctor. But even that is actually its side of the chinah, the aspect of where that even is mutter. And Yaakov, at that time and place for him, latched on to that different kinchayim of where was mutter. So you see that the different opinions are all okay. It's just, again, you have to follow the limitations. But based upon the time and place and who was involved, could even do things that seemingly are violating halachas in the Torah, because there is some, as Rizva said, mem test reasons to make it tar, mem test for us. So therefore, you have to, who decides when you latch onto that aspect? But that's, that's
the motion of the Nefesh identifies it.
Mm-hmm.
That as true as this is, it was all prior to Matan Torah.
Right.
That's how it came about.
That's another thing.
He was jammed in the Chassidus. The big jam in his time. He said, what's the halacha to decide? He said, you may have all the calculations why Shaddam Shat was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, he said, forget the calculations.
All the preparation.
Now there's a halacha that's expanding to him.
No, so that means the Torah being given, that is where became a Klaishol decide Machriya, and then that becomes what you must follow.
Right.
But yet Torah existed before him.
Right.
So in that world of objective MS,
Yaakov
what the Torah wants, so that fits in well, because the Torah was before creation. And in that world of objectivity of truth, where Torah existed before, so you have this possible divergence. Torah was given, Klal Yisrael decided, and this became now the halakha. You can't go ahead and say, I'm latching on to that aspect. I'll do whatever I want because I'm after it. Because this is how, once you have the Torah being given, these things no longer, you can't attach yourself to that. Yet it's still the Rokim Chaim if you have divergence even after the fact. La halacha you follow, but in terms of objective truth, you don't have it. In a similar vein, in terms of time and place, you have here Mishas Levi, just outside. He has this question of why is it we have this halacha of this kind of teku. We have a question in Gemara. What is this teku? So they really, literally, teku means to get stuck. Right? We're stuck. We don't know. But yet we all know that it stands for Tishbi Tares Kushos Vavayos. So at the Yonavi, Moshe Mashiach will answer all these questions. So the question is why. most of the Mashiach you're going to have Tirsum Asim at some point in that Mashiach. So why, Elio, ask Moshe, why do we have to rely on Elio Navi? Just rely, go to the straight to the source. Who needs, you know, why are we relying on Elio Navi for this? And the answer is because Elio Navi never died. And he is theoretically living during our time as well. When you go ahead and want to decide a halacha, you can't go ahead and ask Moshe, because Moshe is at a different time and place. What he decided is in his door is different than what we would have for our door. Because, as we saw, hachra depends upon time and place. And Moshe in the Midbar can't decide a halacha for us over here in the 21st century. It just doesn't work. And therefore, Eliyahu Navi, who lived through all the centuries, can see what is the correct way to follow when it comes to Imot Mashiach. And that's why it doesn't, so you see over here, there's the last words, Eliyahu Navi, who chai v'kaim lo tam tam nisa, who tamim b'zeh ha'ol, he's in this world. V'kach hu yifshol ha'kushos v'abayot, ki hu yodea be'ezeh nisa tzarf v'olam, he knows what the world needs at that time. So you see again the concept that the halacha can be different depending upon where you live and who's dealing with. Now, getting to some practical, we have here three opinions, some practical applications of the concept. So where does this come in, halacha and ma'isa, in different components? So the first very famous machlokas is machlokas of what tefillin is correct, right? Rabbi Yitama Rashi tefillin, right? Most of all of us have Rashi, those Hasidim and the Lubavitch have Bigan Rabbi Yitama. So how could it be? There are Rosh Hashanah, maybe a little cut off towards the bottom, some of the photocopies. But how could it be that something like this, have a machlokas on, first of all, has a shaykh to have a machlokas here? You have, I mean, they want to learn all the long, you have the laws, have. And yet, how could also, do you apply, how does Eilu apply when it comes to that machlokas, Rabbi Natan and Rashi's film? So Rosh Hashanah has this, he goes through the whole, all the questions first, and he says that is what to not to halacha to sifches. Nisaiti had medrash. There's a secret medrash that is brought out as to why we follow Rashi, and he says that's the Zohar Pinchas. And I'll do it. That's going to be a little short time. But what he says over here is that this, the Zohar writes that you have here four parshios of the tefillin. You have Kashi B'chor, Vayaki V'yacha. Shema v'ayim shu, that's our tefillin. Right? The Tam's tefillin is Kashi B'chor, Vayaki V'yacha, and then v'ayim shema, and then shema. The last two parshios are, order is changed. So he says there that the I'm referring to Rashi, that the medrash there in the Zohar there follows Rashi, and he said, Risi ki shem misha docha zeleimor tekvenoso al haksiva, v'abemez enokein, and lukach v'kol inyan sham, that what that should be, that Zohar Pinchas is why we have the order of Shema Vayam Shemoa. And he says over there is that this is, if it's a test, Zohar Shon Hazar Sham Tfilin Delay, Kisera, Eil Kaish Vayam and Shema Vidro, about the Alma Dati, it says, in the future world, Havayot the Emsa, you'll have the two Vahayas, Vayat Vayach, and Vayam Shemoa in the middle. The Inun Hei. And the concept was that from our world we have to have a Vayak V'yacha Shema Vayam Shema. But Lata Lavo, the Zohar right, Rabbi Natan is going to be correct. And therefore you want to have the two Vahaya Vahaya is the Shem Hashem. And you want to have those in the sense. If whatever reason, Kabbalistic reasons that the Zohar is alluding to, is that in the Lata Lavo you have to have Rabbi Natan will follow Rabbi Natan. However, for this world, we have to follow Rashi with a separation between the two Vahayas. And that's the logic behind the order of the tefillin. But the bottom line over here is the last paragraph, I don't know how much is cut off there, but I follow the three Kavara Torah, El Bizman Azeh, Yosef Nachon Kirashi, Ne Tamisha Amanu, is what we said. Olakach Omra Habraisa Shema Vayam Shema Mismo, the Aksha of Yisparish Mikodem Shema. However, Yachtak Vayim Shema. First is Shema, then Vayim Shema. Well, that's the Lavo Yispare Shema Vayim Shema Mismo, and that'll be the reverse. Lavo Mismo Vahaya then Shema, Vayim Shema, Vahayim to Shema Yibsof Avayas Damsi. You have the Shema at the end, and the Avayas, the two Vahayas in the middle, and that's what you see here was that even Ben Tam and Rashi, what Teva Ve'elu? For our world, we follow Rashi, but there's an idea that somehow, for some reason, Lassi Love wrote Rabbeinu Tam, because again, this idea of depending upon the time and that you live in, who is which opinion should be followed, but yet both are valid, both are correct.
What kind of film were people putting on before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
They said that Machokas is before as well, and always was two opinions. It sounds like from the Rebbe Chasson that it used to be like Rebbeinu Tam, and they found his Zohar at some point, and they saw, oh, that was Tulas Lavo. But this is that world should be like Rashi. It doesn't mean that those who wear Rebbeinu Tam only are also wrong. You see, you could perhaps even argue the fact that if you wear Rebbeinu Tam only, you're also doing the mitzvah. Not really for this world, but okay, but you're still not like, you can't call this person not ever fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. He's not doing the correct halacha, but you know, how much you're going to say he's a rasha for not wearing ever tefillin, I don't think you may not say that, because he is wearing a valid pair of tefillin, but not for this world, for the next world.
I wear both.
I guess both is to try to bring on Mashiach. That's, I think, I think their philosophy is to...
Not the same.
But the Shulchan Aruch, we're not wearing, we can get it at the same time.
They told them from Rabbi Moshe that they tried to write in with Rabbi Tam Tzvilin. And the reason was that if Rav Moshe were Rabbeinu Tam Tzvilin, would be able to bring Mashiach. That was their push. So he said, okay, write me a there. So he wrote, you gotta write a certain way, and ended up actually wrote it from either Shulk came down and gave him a certain dukim to write how to write the Tzvilin, and he actually wore it to, you know, he kind of had a pair of writers.
Let's see some kids putting it on
and rubbing it. The Bible is a little bit, yeah. The whole argument was right.
The Bechaber Shulchan Aruch says to wear both.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bechaber says it's preparable to wear both.
Then you have the Mashur, right? The Yohar to write both. Or Ramah says that, if you're not at a certain level, then it's like doing the big shot. But another example of a Machlokas, which also, is pretty famous in terms of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, about the identity of the Trua. So the Torah writes Trua three times, and Gemara says that each Trua has to have its Kia before and after. So it gives you really 9 kolos. We do 100 yet. How is that? Why is that 100? So if we said 100, really you have the 30 is really where Gemara discussed getting 30. 30 to 100 is older abundant. But on the right level, you need 30 kolos to be able to the mitzvah of Shofar. How do you get 30, 9 to 30, because the Tekiah's identity is a machlokas. Pasha Pshad Gemara is, some say Trua is what we call nowadays the Shvarim, the 3 short ones, and some say Trua is the 9 very short ones. So if you want to get, and some say that together, some say that it's the Shvarim Trua, that it's a combination of both the Shvarim Trua. So that gives you, to each 9 becomes, or each set becomes actually 10. And then 3 times gives you 30. That's how you get 30 calls as the minimum. A woman, let's say, didn't hear shofar, so really, if the guy can't blow 100, you blow at least 30. Because that's the 30 calls. So again, how could it be that a machlokas, what shul is, they blew shofar every year, how can they all of a sudden forget? And Martin, Avuah is going to, I'm more deciding what you should do. What happened before Avuah came along? What's going on with him? What was the status before him? So Rav answers, he has other, this is his, his answer. He says, about 9 lines down, on number 13, on page 6, he says, "V'heishahu zal, ki bevadai trua Torah b'chol echa me'elu, bein b'gnuche ben b'ilule." The Torah, each one is correct. "Shekavana tar Torah b'trua la'asosa b'kolos u'shvarim." Trua means some broken sound. So, b'tchila ha'yosa z'asharim, v'zei yivav, osa and t'misha nira as well. Some people did the shvarim. And do what y'all say. And the Chum knew this, and others thought that they did the Trua. Whereas what happened was, in the Torah's view of the Trua, any broken type of a sound was okay. And the Chum knew that whatever he did, some shuls did it this way, some shuls that way, no, both were fine. However, Hamon Am, the regular people, they made a mistake and thought that there was a chilp in them, and that Shalom Yatsu Elu O Elu, that, oh, my shul did, a Shavarim. And that shul down the corner who did the Trua, oh, they're Amaratim, they don't know what they're talking about. And they didn't realize that the Torah didn't really care.
Because so long as you gave a broken trua, a broken sound, then you were fulfilled what the Torah wanted. So Rav Avuha and Mechadesh gave a hoti miliban shel heriotos. V'loshe kagam shel yehi Torah kishtei Torah. So also there should be some achdus. So he was metakein do all the combinations. But really, he have an elu ve'elu, which both are valid, both are 100% correct. And Rav Avuha just from Mechadesh to do like all the opinions in order to give achdus, so that one shouldn't go ahead and criticize the other shul and say they're not doing the right way. When really all was okay. All acted properly. So he has here just, like Rashi and Benatam, in the sense that both are valid. Here, things even further than Rashi and Benatam. Here, both, even nowadays, theoretically, if I guess you could say maybe after the Machir this way, but theoretically, if one actually just blew non-kolos with any true he wants, Yosef Hashem Daraisa, because the Torah didn't really care which way you went. This is the Ritva. He, of course, Benatam had argued on him. But this is his approach in terms of the application of Elu Ve'elu, in this type of application of where Elu Ve'elu can work out. And number two here, in rendering halakhic decision, and the first thing that Rabbi Freeman said about the koshering, that's a great example of where whether you can kosher China or not. So for certain people, you would make it in order to make it easier for them who are not up to a level, and that would be the halakha for that person. The three examples that I heard from Mordechai Tamler, from his grandfather, when I gave a share a while ago, and I asked him some examples, he gave me three examples of Rav Moshe followed Elu Ve'elu, even when it comes to opinions that were divergent from his. The first was artificial insemination. That itself, the whole Machlokes and the Samlis and the Rav Moshe, but even within the those that hold that it can be done, with even from a donor. So the question became, how does the Zera, I'm sorry, this is for the, I guess, for the husband, for AIH, how is the Zera, how you motivate the Zera from the husband? So Moshe had the Shita, and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a more lenient opinion as far as how to motivate the Zera. And where Moshe's opinion would, cannot be followed, whatever the person was, he told the person, if you're allowed to follow Shlomo Zalman. He's also a good opinion. So here you have where Moshe thought he was right, and he thought he was the right opinion, but he understood, Elu Ve'elu, that a person had the right to follow that opinion if he wanted to.
All right, Don, excuse me. Who's got the red minivan across the street?
Oh, me.
Could you just slide that up, please?
Oh, actually, no, I'm on the other side of the street.
Red Toyota Sienna?
Yeah.
Okay, if you could slide that up for me.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The last thing I want my colleague to do is get his tire slashed.